Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. I know everybody's tired tonight. I've been working all day. I'm tired. I passed John earlier on the road. I don't think he saw me, but he was up in the window like this. Looked like driving. Leaning over on the center console. I know you're tired. I'm trying to... I'm not going to try to beat up on you too much tonight. Try not to. Ephesians chapter number 5. I'm not going to try to beat up on you, but this isn't exactly a pat you on the back kind of message. So, it's what the Lord gave me. So, if I mess it up, it's my fault. I missed it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 22, and start reading there. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." That's always uncomfortable when you start reading there. "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He loved his wife, loved himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are the members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning the Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." In chapter 6, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Preacher, would you open something in prayer? Just a couple of weeks ago on Sunday night, I'm sure you remember, I preached a message on the home. And it was kind of rough. I dealt with some hard thing, difficult subjects. Tonight I'm going to kind of continue on that same series again. I told you it may be a series. This is the second one in the series. It shouldn't be as hard and confrontational as last time, hopefully, anyway. If you don't get mad at me, wait a little while. I looked at some different things about the home last time. I looked at the opposition of the home, how Satan's trying his best to get in every avenue he can to throw him, but take every little crack and crevice he can to get in there. And he is doing that, and he will do that if you're not careful. We looked at the origin of the home, and what marriage is, how God instituted it, how God intended it to be, how it's supposed to be one man for one woman for life. And I hit hard on that, covered all that, good, bad, ugly, and uncomfortable. We talked about all that. So I'm going to go a little bit further and talk about the order of the home. I believe there's a lot of homes nowadays that are out of order. It's like a drink machine. Walk up, out of order sign on the front. All the pieces are inside that you need to have for it to work. They're not all joining together like they're supposed to. I believe there's a lot of homes nowadays that have all the pieces inside they're supposed to. They're not all working together like they need to get the machine to work. We have what we need. We have the instructions we need. We just got to learn how to put it all together in the right order to get it to work. So that's what I'm going to preach on tonight, the order of the home. I believe a lot of us probably need an out of order sign on the front of our doors at home. I made one of those tonight. I can make copies if I need to. Send them home. I'm going to put that one on our door. I wonder how many of us tonight, if we were honest, would need to stick one of those on our front door. I think we all would at some point. I know I would. Church, I believe God has burdened my heart about our homes for a reason. I don't know why, but I think that, feel like I can't get away from it. We preach on it over and over again. Sunday morning, we preach on the dads needing a father to stand in the gap. And tonight, it's kind of going on again with the homes and the fathers and of course, the wives and children as well. I don't know why I'm preaching on all this, but I am. Maybe it's just for me. I don't know. But if it's for me, I believe you can probably use it as well. So, Lord, I'm going to preach a little while on the order of the home. Very simply put, the order of the home is Christ. Christ is the big umbrella. We know this. Under him is the father of the home, the little smaller umbrella. Under him is the mother with an umbrella, and under her is the children. We say a lot of times the father is the head of the home. Doing your taxes, the father is the head of the home. That's not correct. Don't stay with me for a minute. The father should not be the head of the home. I don't believe he should. Christ should be the head of the home. and then the Father followed behind him. You can't lead anywhere unless you're following behind him. If you lead without him, you're going to end up in a ditch somewhere. I think we get that out of order a lot of times. We like to fold that Christ umbrella up and put it in the closet until it rains. And then when it does rain, we think we pull it out. It's too late. We already got wet then. We need to get it in order in the first place. And Lord, if we get him in the head of the home, put him as the head of the home. Father, if we put Christ as the head of the home, I believe a lot of the things, a lot of other trouble would just fall into place. I'll get taken care of. Let's take a few minutes and look at the different positions God has placed in the home. Very simply, just the husband, the mother, and the children. It's not going to take too long tonight. I do have several pages of notes, but it probably won't take too long. First off, God's order for the husband. I think there's a common misconception that the man is supposed to be the boss of the home. He's the boss, supposed to boss people around, and he is supposed to be a leader. I will get to that. There's a big difference between being a boss and being a leader. A huge difference. And you can lead without being rude. You can be a father, be a husband without being rude about it. And I think a lot of times that's forgotten. We get this misconception they're supposed to be a boss. That's not what we're supposed to be. The Bible tells us here, Scripture tells us husbands ought to love their wives. Very simply, Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I don't know about you, but that seems pretty impossible to me, hard for me to love my wife as much as Christ loved the church. And don't get me wrong, I love my wife more than anybody else on the earth. But Christ loved the church a whole lot more, different kind of love than anything on earth we could ever reach. And I think that's the point Paul's trying to make here. You ought to never feel like you've reached the mark. You should always be striving to love her more. Husbands, you should always be trying to get better at it because you're not ever going to get good enough at it. That should be our goal. Our goal should be to be a perfect husband. It's not going to happen, but you ought to love your wife and you ought to try to. The second part there says, and gave himself for it. I don't know many men that when faced with a dramatic situation wouldn't jump in and give their life for their wife. Men have that built-in, a hero mentality. A man will willingly jump in front of a car and get his leg run over for a woman, especially his wife. If you wouldn't, you're not worth your salt. Most men would. And then he's straight around for the rest of his life limping and telling everybody why he's limping because he's a hero. I believe this verse here goes a lot deeper than that. Many men would give up their life for their wife, but how many men are willing to give up their wife to die for their wife? I wonder how many are willing to give up their life to live for their wife. The point is this. I've had different men I worked with in the past, all through different places I worked. Everywhere you go, men complain about their wives, complain about their wives not wanting them to do things with their buddies and wanting them to be with them all the time. And people all the time complain about that. There's this new idea today about the man cave and spending time on your own and going out and hanging out with your buddies. There's a saying, the one who dies with the most toys wins. Usually the ones that dies with the most toys has a wife that's mad at them. Now she has to get rid of all the toys. Man, we are to give up our lives and live for our wives. That's what the Scripture tells us to do. Give your life like Christ died, gave his life for the church. The problem is when the husband's trying to live his life away from his wife. You do that a lot of times nowadays. You do that everywhere nowadays. If you don't believe it, take a look around you. Husbands and wives a lot of times taking separate vacations, spending time separate from themselves, doing things on their own. You have to give up your life for your wife. That's what the Scripture tells us. The verse also says, and love the church. That's the past tense. As in, Christ loved the church before the sinners came to the church, before the sinners were part of the church. Christ loves the sinners before they love him. Man, we ought to love our wives when she's sweet to us and baking desserts for us. Like Kevin, peach cobbler, you ought to love your wife then. But you ought to also love your wife when she's not making desserts and she's moody and being mean to you. Christ loved the church when the church did not love Christ. That's not always the easiest thing to do. That's scriptural. If you would get that in place, if you would learn how to do that, I promise you it would help you out, help out your home. It says in Ephesians 5:28, a few verses down, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He loved his wife, loved himself. I never met a man that didn't love himself. And there are parts of myself that I don't particularly like, obviously. I have really big feet, for one. It's difficult and very expensive for me to find shoes. I don't like having big feet. I don't like my feet. I really want some extra tough boots. They don't make them big enough for my feet that I can find anyway. I have to mold my own. I don't like my feet, but I love my feet. I don't want to get rid of them. I like having two of them. I don't want to cut half of them off. I don't like everything about them, but I wouldn't know what to do without them. Men, love your wife like you love yourself. Whether they are doing everything exactly the way you would have them to do it or not, you are to love your wife as much as you love yourself. If you're hungry, you feed yourself. If you're cold, you cover yourself. You would do well to concern yourself with the needs of your wife. I promise you it would help you out, help your home out, and it would obviously help her out. You have to concern yourself with your wife's needs. People say a lot of times, well, she's a grown woman. She can take care of herself. She may be a grown woman. She may be able to take care of herself, but the Scripture told you to do it. Take care of her. Watch out for her. It's your job as a husband to concern yourself with your wife. Verse number 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This verse says that men, you ought to love your wife more than anyone else. Not just more than yourself, you ought to love them more than anyone else. You ought to be joined with your wife. You ought to love her differently than you love your parents. You ought to love her differently than you love your own children. Don't get me wrong, I love my parents. And I love my children. I'd do anything for them that I could. But when my children are grown and gone, it's going to be me and my wife. I'm grown and gone out of my parents' home. I moved 3,000 miles away from my parents. I love my parents, but it's different. It would be a whole lot different if me and Natalie were to separate 3,000 miles. That's not going to work out so well. When the kids move out, parents, it's just going to be you and mom. Father's just going to be you and mom. You best learn how to live with her now. Best learn how to love her now. Don't forget about your spouse when the children are home. Don't forget about them. Love them now while you can. Outside of your parents, apart from your children, love your wife. If you're loving her now because of the children, what are you going to do when they're gone, when the children are gone? It's not going to fare too well for you. Husbands not only ought to love their wives simply, as most of the Scripture there, but husbands ought to lead the way. It says in chapter 6, verse number 4, the last verse we read earlier, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers, it's our job to lead. I mentioned that earlier. It's our job to set the standards of the home. It's not talking about being a dictator. It's talking about being the boss man. It's about making some decisions and taking some stands and leading your family according to the Scriptures. It's our decision whether or not we go to church and where we go to church. It's your decision or not how your family worships and how you worship. You are the spiritual leader of your home, and you ought to act like it. It's a dad's responsibility to set the standard for discipline in the home. A lot of times that gets shoved off to the mom. The Scripture tells you it's the job of the father. It's our job to lead the home, lead our home spiritually, lead our home in discipline. Once you get to heaven, you stand at the judgment seat of God. God's not going to look at your wife and ask her about the standards set in your home. He's going to look at you and ask you about it. It's your job. God's going to ask you about standards in your home. It's your responsibility. The spirituality of your home is on your shoulders. The decisions, the leadership of your home is on your shoulders, and you have to answer for it. Not only a husband ought to lead the way, a husband ought to labor for wages. Very simply, 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. I don't think we have too much trouble with that around here. I'm not going to harp on that too long. I'm going to hit it while I'm here. It's the duty of the father to make sure there's enough money in the home to feed the kids, to feed the wife. I know in some situations the wife has to work. I get that. I understand that. Especially with the price of groceries around here. But it's the God-given responsibility of the father to provide for the home. Husbands ought to be not only love their wives, ought to lead the way, ought to be labor for wages. And lastly, for the husbands, they ought to be learned in womanhood. They ought to learn their wife, study their wife. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. It's the husband's duty to dwell with the wife according to knowledge. It's the husband's duty to understand his wife. A lot of times we men say, well, I just don't understand what you're talking about. I don't understand you. I don't understand why you're acting like that. I don't understand why you're doing that. The Scripture says it's your job to figure it out why she's doing that. Figure out, it's your job to understand her. Yes, she's different. Men and women are different. Newsflash, they're different. Women don't always like the same things as men do. And vice versa. Men, don't be surprised if you bring on fishing rods for your anniversary and don't get a happy look. I would get a happy look. That's not my fault. You married the wrong person. I'm not going to deep into this, but you know there are different types of personalities. You can study that in psychology and think, I'm not going to do all that here. There's been studies and books written on the different love languages. Men and women have very different things they like. Women are big into the words of affection. My wife is like that, or whatever, words of affection. She likes to be told how much I love her. She likes me to not only show up, but she wants me to tell her that I think she's pretty, pat her on the back. Me, I'm the exact opposite of that. Show me. Don't waste your time talking. I'm the exact opposite of that. I understand that. I know how she is, and I'm still terrible at it. I understand it, but I don't follow through with that most of the time. That's my own fault. Husbands, fathers, husbands, you ought to understand your wife. Understand your study her. It says understand her, have the knowledge. of your wife. Understand what she's going through. Understand how she responds to things. If you would do that, I promise you would help you. It says in the last part of that verse that your prayers be not hindered. The Lord takes it pretty seriously. If there's no peace in the home, you can't expect everything to be okay. My pastor said it before, and I found out myself. If there's not peace between me and my wife, there's no point in me trying to study for a message because it's not going to happen. My prayers will be hindered. Yours will be the same way. Your prayers will be hindered. The Lord's not going to listen to you if you can't treat your wife right. You ought to take your time to understand. My point is, as a husband, you are different than your wife. Take your time to understand your wife. Learn about her. Scripture tells us. Scripture is not me. It's not my opinion. That's what the Lord tells us to do, so you better do it. So Lord of the home, first for the husband. He is to love, he's to lead, he's to labor, he's to learn about his wife. It's not my opinion. It's what God said. God's order for the wife, number two. Any godly wife, say if any godly wife, if the husband is following biblical principles I just showed you, the wife is probably not going to have any trouble following the man if she's in line with God as well. Number one, the wife is to submit to her husband. The first verse read earlier. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as unto the Lord. How is the wife to submit to her husband as she is submitting to the Lord? What does that mean? Allowing him to lead. That's what that means. God can't lead in your life if you don't allow him to lead. You have to follow him. So what the scripture is telling here for the wives, the wife, you are to submit to your husband. You are to follow his lead, whether you understand it, whether you like it or not. That's what the Lord told you to do, and you are to follow his lead. I don't understand everything the Lord tells me to do. I am to follow his lead. Same for the wife. Verse number 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, let the wife teach their own husbands in everything. What is the church here for? Who is the head of the church? Everyone knows the head of the church is Christ. The church is here to magnify Christ. So the wife ought to be to her husband. She's here to magnify her husband, take care of her husband, love her husband, submit to her husband, and magnify him. The Bible says, ladies, you are to magnify and give honor to your husband, just like the church does to Christ. That can be hard. Christ is perfect. It's very easy to give honor to him. Your husband, I'm going to tell you, he's not perfect. I'm not perfect. God never says your husband is perfect. God says you do it because that's your position in the home, and that's what God told you to do. Not because he deserves it, not because he's earned that right, because God told you to. Last part of verse number 33. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. Ladies, you ought to show reverence to your husband. I've been in public before or in a group of people and hear a wife cutting down her husband, talking bad about her husband in front of him. I don't know about you, but that doesn't make me think more of her and less of him. It makes me think a lot more of him and a lot less of her. Because if she's talking that way in public, what is she doing in private? I think usually if that happens, I think that poor husband, I wouldn't want to be in his shoes. Ladies, you are to reverence, respect, and honor your husbands. Like I said, that can be a very hard thing to do because most of the time he don't deserve it. If he's anything like me, most of the time he doesn't deserve the reverence. But it's your God-given position in the home to do so. That's what you ought to do. It's not... This is kind of backwards nowadays what people think. There's this idea that women's equal, women's higher than the husband, or at least equal to. And as a person, she is. A lot of times, she's smarter than the husband. Maybe more educated than the husband. But that's not her position. God has put her position a little bit lower than the husband to give honor to him. Doesn't matter if he's smarter than her or not. Doesn't matter if he makes better decisions than her or not. It's position in the home. Honestly, if my wife, if she could be a preacher, she's probably a better pastor than I could. She's a people person. She's not afraid to be blunt and honest. You'd probably be glad she's not the pastor here. She loves people whether they love her or not. I have trouble with that. She'd probably make a better pastor than me if she could be a preacher. She can't be, no point in preachers. But this is the position God's placed me in, not the position he's placed her in. Husband, wives, the Lord's placed you in a position under your husband to honor and reverence your husband. Whether you're better at it or not, whether you think you could be better at it or not, the Lord's placed you in that position, and that's your job to do. Same in the home. Whether you think you're better than him or not, a lot of times you probably are. God's not put you in that position. Woman, wife's supposed to be the service to her household. 1 Timothy 5, verse number 14. I will therefore that younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to adversary to speak reproachfully. I say this very carefully. Let Scripture do the talking here. This position of the mothers to marry, bear children, guide the house, and not give anyone an opportunity to say anything against the house to protect the honor of not give anybody any doubt about the home. I know no doubt that's backwards to our society. There's much said today about the career woman. I understand a lot of moms have to work. I understand that. My mom worked a full-time job my entire life. She still does. But she made arrangements so she could work from home and still take care of us kids and still be with us kids. And all my years of growing up, I don't remember much about my mom's job. But I remember a whole lot about the time she's been away from her job. remember a lot about the time she spent scripture with us as kids. It was my mom led me to the Lord. I can promise you when that kids grow up, they're going to think a lot less of that job you worked and a whole lot more of the time you spent with them. I know you're going to, I know some have to work. I understand that. I understand that. But it's your job to take care of those kids. Your job to honor, to teach those kids, nurture those kids, teach them up, grow them up. You are to be a service to your household. You are to be a symbol of holiness. 1 Peter 3, verse number 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great prize. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. I can't remember who it was, but there's a famous preacher, well-known preacher, I wish I could remember his name. He said, paraphrasing, he said, it wasn't my father's fire and brimstone preaching that won me to the Lord, but it was my mom's tender loving care, my mom's holy living that brought me to the Lord, got me into conviction. Mom, you're to be a symbol of holiness in your home. From your dress to your discipline, your honor to your husband, to your devotion to God, you are setting example to your children. As your position in the home, you are to be the symbol of holiness in the home. Your children ought to be able to look up to you, not have to turn their heads. They ought to be able to look up to you. Not always, but many times, if you see children that won't honor their father, it's because the mother does not honor the father. It's up to you to set the example in the home of how the father's supposed to be honored. It's up to you to set the example in home, how holy you're supposed to live. Your children are watching you. It's your responsibility. She's supposed to be the symbol of holiness. She's supposed to be the heart of the home. Lastly, looking at all these verses I've read, it may seem as if the mother is not as important. I want to say that you're mistaken if you're thinking that. But wife, the mother, is very important. It's impossible to have a perfect home without the wife. Proverbs 18:22, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and attaineth favor of the Lord. There's nothing more encouraging to me as a husband than when my wife is behind me and in agreement with me. There's nothing in the world that can keep me going on more than my wife. She's more. You can tell me it's a good message, but if she tells me it's a good message, it means a lot more. I don't know where I would be if I didn't have a godly wife. If I didn't have a wife now, I'd be disqualified. We preached about that before. Your husband, ladies, your husband has a very challenging position he's been given. He has a heavy load placed on his shoulders, a lot of responsibility. He needs you under there with him to help him carry the load. He needs your encouragement. He needs you there. You are very important. You are to his helpmeet. Scripture tells you the wife is the helpmeet. Be there to help him. Don't push him down. Don't make it harder on him. Be there to help him. You're the heart of the home. You're the one to bring the love into the home. You're the seed of the motion home. I said last time, said it before, the wife is there so that father doesn't kill the kids. She's the heart of the home, the love of the home. You are a missionary to your children. Like I said, my mom is the one who influenced me to be saved. It was my dad's stand that brought us to church, but my mom's tender love and my mom's spirituality put me in her conviction. I may be a preacher, I may be a pastor, but my wife is the one that taught my kids I think Jesus loves me. My wife's the one that taught Samuel's first Bible verse. I'm supposed to be spiritual. My wife's the one that did that. The mother, the heart of the home. Ladies, don't begrudge your position. You're under leadership of your husband. That's a pretty safe place to be if he's following the Lord. Stay in your position. Love your kids. Love your wife. Love your husband. Let the Lord use you. Lord can use you in that position. God's order for the wife. God's order for the children. Number three, lastly, very shortly. I believe most of the problem with children nowadays is the parents. So I'm not going to spend too much time here. Year before, there's no such thing as illegitimate children. There's only illegitimate parents. There's some guidelines to help young people to follow. Scripture here tells us that. Ephesians chapter 6, verses read before. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's the first verse. Most parents teach your kids. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Simply put, children, your job is to honor, obey your parents. Your order in the home is to obey what your parents have commanded you to do. God has placed them there to rule over you, whether you like it or not, whether you understand it or not. That's your position. The way you can honor the Lord, the way you can honor your parents is just obey them. Do what they tell you to do. God doesn't take it too lightly. Look at verse 3 again. That it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. If you do not obey your parents, God doesn't say he's going to shorten your parents' life. you can shorten your life. It's your job to obey your parents. Your job to honor your parents. And if you don't get that right, God's going to shorten your life because of it. It's very important. God takes it very seriously. We look over that a lot of times. God takes it very seriously. The second verse there, verse number 2, you may think it means the same thing as the first one. Verse 1 says young children is for young children in the home. They're to obey the parents. Verse number 2 is talking about children out of the home. They are to honor the father and the mother. Our duty to honor our parents is going to follow you to the grave. I'm commanded by God that if I want to live a long life, I'm to honor my parents, even though I'm way up here now. I'm still to honor my parents and honor their name and honor what they've taught me. The job of parenting is not a light duty. It's supposed to be respected. Children are supposed to be respected. And God will hold you personally responsible if you do not respect it. Do not honor it. God's going to hold you personally responsible. No, you're not the father. You don't have to answer for the home, but you do have to answer your part, and God's going to hold you responsible for it. I know I've covered a lot of ground tonight. I feel like I've stumbled, stammered over most of it. This is a God-given order, God-given chain of command for the home. Now, not everything's going to be easy in the home. There are a lot of hard things. Getting this all figured out here, it's a lot easier to say, a whole lot harder to figure out and put into place, put into practice. Pretty much every time something goes wrong, you can look back to this scripture here and you can find you got something out of order. This is the order we've been given. If we get it in place, if we get it in order, I promise you it'll help your home. I promise you it'll help this church. I said it Sunday, I say it again. So goes the church, so goes the home, goes the church, and so goes the church, goes the nation. If the homes fall apart, if the homes of New Hope Baptist Church cannot function according to the Scriptures, New Hope Baptist Church will not be able to function according to Scriptures. It starts in the home and starts with the fathers. It's our job. It's important. I know it's not a fun thing to talk about, but it's scriptural and we need to get it figured out.